Genesis chapter 5 is where we are. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 17. We left off a couple of weeks ago here. We left off looking at the way of Lamech. And we see in this passage of scripture here the way of Cain, and we see the way of Seth as we come to the end of this chapter. But we notice that Cain is he has children. He names one of them Enoch, verse 17. Cain built a city, and he named that city after his son Enoch. And it continues to go on through the genealogies of Cain. And I think we looked at this last week, where we see this new age of discovery that is taking place. And you notice how when we look at the Cain, the genealogies or the history of Cain, it talks about the individuals, the people, and, you know, it talks about what they established, right? They established brass and iron. They established, Jubal, we see, establishes in music. We see Juba is a founder of kind of herding and making a name for themselves in the world. But not only is there this time of new discovery and advancements, but we also notice in the scripture here that there's also this new age of disorder. And we see that people begin to despise what God had established. And it's dangerous when people, a society, rejects God's way. And if you want to know the destination of that, by the way, if you want a commentary of the direction of humanity or society or culture that takes God from it, then just read Romans chapter 1. That's the commentary of a people who does not want God in their life. And so we see in this passage of scripture that as we are introduced here to this new age of discovery and disorder, sadly we come to this new age of defiance. And we look at this song of Lamech, who he is speaking to his wives, and it is called the Song of the Sword, or what commentaries would entitle the Song of the Sword. And it really is a song about independence from God, which is the worst kind of independence. And so we find in this song here in Genesis chapter, we're actually in chapter 4 here, chapter 4 and verse 23. We notice what the Bible says here. So Genesis chapter 4, and notice what the Bible says here in verse 23. The Bible says, "And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt." So you think about what Cain did. Cain murdered his brother. And then in Genesis 4:23, we notice here that Lamech didn't just kill one man, but he killed two. And he avenged his feelings. He despised life by taking the life of another individual. And we find it also interesting here in verse 24, and I believe this is kind of where we left off last week or 2 weeks ago. In verse 24, the Bible says, "If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." Now, I used to read this thinking that this was Lamech speaking to God. And if this is what you did for Cain, then this is what you need to do for me, because I'm much better and greater and all these things. But I don't think this is the interpretation of that passage of Scripture. I think what Lamech is saying here is that if this is the oath that God gave to Cain, then I want to make a greater oath than God, that this is what will happen if you seek out to harm me. Now, that's an arrogant, proud attitude. And that is really the beginning. We're starting to turn the page here to the beginning of chapter 6, when God has to say enough is enough. And it really, we kind of, in this commentary, we understand here that this all begins here with Lamech and the attitude that he has toward God and toward life. It's that attitude where I don't need God in my life, I can handle it, and that's just a terrible attitude. Now, the world has that attitude. Now, you think about at this particular time, man had all that they needed. I mean, they were increased in goods, they were rich, they were organized, they had urban life, they were advancing. Their attitude was, why do I need God? Why do I need God? And you look at the unsaved world, and they look at all of the good that they have in their life, and they say, why do I need God? Now, I want to just give a warning here, because as Christians, we would never say that with our mouth, but we could live that, where we put God on the side burner of our life, and everything else in life becomes more important, and God becomes just secondary in our life. And this is not an attitude that we want to have. Remember what God told the children of Israel? He said, listen, I'm going to bring you into a wonderful land, and you're going to have wonderful blessings, and you're going to have houses, and you're going to have lands, you're going to have farms, and all of those things you haven't worked for. You didn't gain those things, but they were given to you. And then he makes this important declaration. He said, you have to be careful lest you forget God. And so I think that principle is true today, that we have to be careful. Because no matter how much money you have in your pockets right now or how much money you have in the bank, I think when the Bible talks about the rich, God's talking about us. We are the rich, and we have much. And it's a wonderful blessing, but it can also be very dangerous if we turn to those blessings. My brother-in-law, he pastors in Montreal. We went there to visit them last week, and he has a lot of people in Montreal from Africa because of French, and they come from these African countries. They speak French, and he was telling me that what happens as they come into the country, they come from some of these poorest countries in the world, and they have absolutely nothing. And then they come to Canada, and they start to gain and to get and to enjoy these things. And my brother-in-law was telling me it doesn't take long when these people forget about the most important things. And they get caught up. And he says that when people come from Africa, he sets them down in his office, and he warns them. He says, be careful, because this culture, this society can drag you in. And they try to get you to suck you in to the American dream or the Canadian dream, where you can have all these things, and you begin to sacrifice the most important things in your life. And I think this is where we're going in Genesis here, chapter 4, as we begin to see this attitude within the lineage of Cain. Now, the Bible doesn't give us much about the lineage of Cain in this portion of Scripture. It gives us just a small portion, but the little bit that we have, we understand that they just don't have a godly attitude. They don't have an attitude that fears God and has reverence toward God. So here's how we're going to end here tonight. We're going to look at the way of Seth and notice what the Bible has to say here about the way of Seth. So the Bible says this in chapter 25. I think it's important for us to look at this. In chapter 4, verse 25, And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now, as Bible students, we understand when we talk about the line of Seth, we're talking about the line to the Messiah, the Savior, right? You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God told the devil that through the seed of the woman, that your head will be crushed, you'll be defeated. You are a defeated foe. And this is what we're talking about, the seed of the woman. And so when the Bible talks about here the idea that God has appointed me another seed, we're talking about the seed of the Messiah here. This is a wonderful blessing. Now, the name Seth means the appointed one, the appointed one. And Eve right away acknowledges that she had borne a son to replace Abel. The way of Seth, of course, was a lot different than the line of Cain or the lineage of Cain. The Bible says that Seth had a son whose name was Enos. Now, look what the Bible says in verse 26 here. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Now, look what the Bible says. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, the word, the name Enos, in Bible days, names had great significance. Today, they don't have as much significance. Most people will go online and just look for the most popular name in 2024, 2023, or they'll think of a name off the chart that no one else has. It seems to be a popular trend today. Find a name that no one can say or no one can think of. But Seth, his name means frail. And frail, of course, speaks of his humanity. And this, of course, is a lot different than the view or the lineage of Cain, a lineage or a line that was filled with indulgence. It was indifference. It was independence from God. But the way of Seth was a line that called upon the Lord. The way of Seth sought after God. The way of Seth acknowledged God. And the Cainites started the revolution, really, that started the revolution to get us to chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, where the Sethites sought the Lord, and we find that this was the lineage where Noah comes from, who builds the boat to get them out of that mess. So we have these two lineages, and this is really what I want us to understand in chapter 4 here. As we come to the end of chapter 4, there's these two lines. There's the line of Cain, and there's the line of Seth. And this is how the chapter ends. There's the godly line that will produce one day the Messiah, and there's the way of Cain, who doesn't care about God. Okay? And I think it's interesting that the line of Seth is recorded in chapter 5. You know, that little tiny portion of scripture we have about the Canaanites. But then the whole chapter here of chapter 5, it gives us the generations of Adam. And remember what I said, when the Bible says the generations of Adam, we're talking about the history of Adam here. So this is that line that we are talking about. So let's turn the page now, and let's go to chapter 5 and look at what the Bible has to say here. I think there's some interesting thoughts. I'm not going to dig too deep into this. A lot of names here, you probably already have them all memorized. And I mean, I'm just going to kind of go through a couple individuals I think that we should focus on, and then we're going to kind of get to chapter 6. Which is the main event, okay? Chapter 5 says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, understand in chapter 5, this is important. We're talking about a lot of people here. But what the Bible is focusing on is a line to the Messiah. All right? So they're going to have a lot of children. And we know that this is true because in verse number 4, the Bible says he begot sons and daughters. So there's a lot of children here, and they lived a lot of years. And so the population of the earth is growing rapidly here. But what the Bible is focusing on in Genesis 5 is that godly lineage, okay? And so that's what we have to understand. And so the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 920 years and he died. Can you imagine living for 900 years? I mean, I think after 800 years, you'd be getting tired, but then you're going to live another 100 years. I mean, it's amazing. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 850 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 820 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So he doesn't have after his name, and he died. We'll look at that in just a moment. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So this is the line of Seth, and they live very much contrary to the line of Cain in that day. I want to just give a couple of highlights here. I think we have to highlight Enoch. Enoch, of course, walked with God. And in verse number 22, we notice here the life of Enoch. The New Testament does speak about Enoch. In Jude verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So I would presume from the New Testament that Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. And I would also assume from the book of Jude here that as we think about the line of Seth and the line of Cain, there was great persecution that was given to the line of Seth. And it was a wicked world. It was an ungodly world. It was a terrible world that turned against God. And oftentimes we have a pity party thinking that we're the only people in the entire time of history of man that has ever lived in an ungodly world. And that's just not true. That's not true. I mean, the fact is that the line of Cain greatly persecuted the line of Seth. But what do we notice about this line? Is we notice that Seth, we notice that Enoch preached truth. And, you know, he shook his old bony finger at them and said, "You're an ungodly people, and you're going to face the judgment of a righteous God." And they didn't like that. They didn't like that message. And so there was great persecution. And the Bible says in verse 24 that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And we can go to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, verse 5, where the Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony," and this ought to be our goal in life, is to have this testimony before the rapture or before death, that we please God. And Enoch pleased God. Enoch was faithful. The word translation here, or translated, is the thought. It's an interesting statement. It's the same word, the Hebrew word, that's used in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, when it speaks of Elijah. I think that we look at this scripture. The Bible says that one day Enoch was, and then another moment he was not. Now, that sounds like a rapture to me. To be and then to be gone sounds like a rapture to me. And so Enoch went straight to heaven. He didn't pass death, and he didn't collect $200. He went straight to heaven into the presence of God. And, of course, he would receive a glorified body to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this bodily translation was a sign that reconciliation with God means victory over death. And Enoch was a living example of that victory. And, you know, I think also that this passage of Scripture is also a good reminder. You know, there's only one time in the Bible where it mentions a worldwide judgment. There's two times in the Bible that mentions that. There's a tribulation, and there's also a worldwide flood. And we notice that Enoch was translated before the worldwide judgment. I think that's the only other time in the Bible where there's a translation, it's before God judges the whole world. I think that's a good example for us for pre-tribulation rapture as well. So the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15:54. It says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." And so we find that wonderful victory in Christ as we think of our victory over death as well. And then in verses 25 and to 32, we are introduced to a man named Methuselah. Now, he has the longest lifespan that's recorded in the Bible, 969 years old. All of the people in the Bible here, you go through various genealogies, they're all going to say, "And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died." And we see that Methuselah lived for 969 years. I mean, think about all of the wisdom and the experience that Methuselah would have. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3, we go back to the very beginning here. God said this, "If you take of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." God kept that promise. Because at the end of all of their lives, except for Enoch, the exception, the Bible says, "And he died, and he died, and he died." So then we see Lamech. This, of course, is not the arrogant one and from Cain's line. He lived to be 777 years. And Lamech was indeed a man of faith. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, because he was a man of faith, because he treasured the very promise of God from Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. The seed of the woman would destroy the serpent and would bring rest and comfort from the curse. And when his son was born, he had claimed that promise. From the seed of Seth would come the Messiah, the one who would once again restore humanity from what was lost from sin. And so we see that in his life. Noah, his name means rest. His name means rest. And so Lamech had a son and named him Noah. And Noah has three sons at the young age of 500. And again, two lines here passing through Genesis, the ungodly line of Cain and the godly line of Seth. And the line of Cain, or the Cainites, are classified, they're described as independent from God, independent thinkers, living life to its fullest without God. And then we see the Sethites, this line, we see it's a line of faith and a line looking to God and trusting in God. And I think it can be described for us in chapter 4, verse 26, where the Bible says that man began to call upon the Lord. Now, there's one thing I want to end here before we end this study here tonight. We have to remember that the devil is fighting against the line of Seth. He knows from the seed of the woman. The devil only knows what we tell him, and what God allows him to know. And he knows from the seed of the woman, of course, would come the one who would destroy his work. And so he's going to fight against that. And this line of the Canaanites, or the Cainites, they begin to intermingle with the Sethites. And we read about that in chapter 6. We're going to break it all down. We're going to look at different theories and what people think about this. But really excited about next week as we look at the flood and why the Bible talks about it, why we have a flood, and all these wonderful things. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word tonight. And I